it's our...
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Well, this is Ethan with the Gamers Haven podcast, and I am here with, go ahead, say your name, sir. You are Ben.
Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner.
Yes, I was drawing a complete blank on your last name for a second and was horribly trying to cover that up. I failed miserably.
It's like baby food. It's easy to remember.
Okay. But that's Ben Gerber with Troll in the Corner, which, of course, is now part of the Gamers Haven forums over there.
Absolutely, very excited.
Oh yes, we're very happy to have you guys there. The more people, the merrier. But you not only are Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com with the Troll in the Corner blog, which we'll talk about here shortly. You're also the mastermind behind some little thing called the. Now I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's Arunius.
That's correct. That's good.
Excellent, excellent. And that Arunius currently is a Pathfinder zombie setting, more or less.
Yeah, it's a high fantasy zombie apocalypse setting.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's go ahead and start sort of at the beginning. What's your background as far as a gamer? What got you into the hobby?
Oh, geez. It's probably AD&D or possibly the original Red Box set. My mom was kind enough to grab a whole bunch of Dungeons & Dragons from a yard sale when I was about 9.
From a yard sale? From a yard sale, you said?
From a yard sale.
Nice.
And that set me down my my gaming path, and that was that was almost 31 years ago. So I've been gaming ever since.
Very nice. Very nice. And
yeah.
Well, what propelled you to start up the Troll in the Corner blog, then?
Well, I've run a couple of websites before this, but they're never really as satisfying. They're more technology-type websites, and
sure.
I've always been a gamer, so I figured I'd start a website that focused on, just my most enjoyable hobby.
Sure.
It was 2008, around September, we went live, and by we, I mean me. And over the past couple of years, we've collected a couple of really interesting writers and editors, and it's just been a blast.
Nice, nice. Well, currently, Troll in the Corner, let me go ahead and load up the site so I can look at it, too. Troll in the Corner, like we said, is at trollitc.com. Why don't you give us a sort of a rundown of what people can find on Troll in the Corner?
Well, we mostly cover role-playing games. I love having interviews and reviews, so we'll interview folks who are in the industry, we'll review products, as well as, you know, tips for game masters and tips for players and ideas for campaign settings.
Mm-hmm.
We have been fairly focused recently on fantasy role-playing games, but that's going to change pretty soon, and we're going to broaden our focus and cover all mm-hmm. kinds of genres of role-playing. Everything from Doctor Who, which we just recently reviewed, mm-hmm. all the way through the superheroes, and just about anything you can think of. And we also occasionally talk with some folks in independent film, particularly folks mm-hmm. like the Fifth Gentleman, who did Gamers Darkness Rising.
Right.
And they have a project. So we love kind of independent projects as well
mm-hmm.
as the more mainstream product. And we also cover board games and pretty much anything that has to do with gaming, science fiction, fantasy, is all fair game.
Excellent, excellent. And what area of the country are you located in?
I live just outside of Boston.
Just outside of Boston. My sister just moved away from Western Massachusetts. She was living in Westfield out there in Southwick.
Uh-huh.
She's now in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's kind of a change.
Yes, yes. Well, we're originally from the Kansas City area, so it's more getting back to what she's used to. I did get a chance to go out and visit her just this last Thanksgiving, which was kind of nice. So I have been in that vicinity, sort of we ran over to Salem while we were out there. So
yep.
We did the tourist thing. You know,
almost come down. Yeah,
excellent. Well, with now is Erroneous your first foray into actually getting something published?
It is. I think we started back in June, actually, the first publication. Put out a couple of free PDFs and sort of used that as feelers to see how people would think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It all really started last December when I was talking with one of my co-authors, Scott Lazari, who has also been my gaming buddy since I've been about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it would be really, really interesting to have a high fantasy campaign, and what would happen to a world if it was a high fantasy world standard, elves, orcs, goblins,
mm-hmm.
Humans, dwarves, what have you. What would happen if that world collapsed under a massive zombie apocalypse?
Right.
The zombies are my second favorite thing when it comes to the sci-fi fantasy stuff, sci-fi gaming. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a fan of the Romero-style movies, where, you know, the slow zombies, but not the AAA's zombies. I like as well, but I'm more favor the slow zombies.
Right.
So we started designing a world, and then we broke it. We basically went 100 years down past a massive apocalypse and said, what are we going to find?
Mm-hmm.
What would the world be like? And what would people be interested in seeing and doing? And that's where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this is a long-time gamer, first time being published.
Excellent. Now, basically the gestalt then of Erroneous was the sort of the Romero type of zombie movies and then integrating it into to the high fantasy is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, there are zombie games out there. There are some wonderful zombie RPGs mm-hmm. out there, and there are also some wonderful high fantasy RPGs out there.
Right.
I just hadn't really seen the two of them integrated in the way that I wanted to play.
Right.
So we started writing this as a campaign that we would do, and through the website, talking to a few other people, and a few people expressed interest and thought it might be a good idea to move forward with it. So we decided to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, what challenges did you run into when you were trying to mesh those two types of, basically those two genres, high fantasy and the Romero-style zombie film? Because with fantasy...
Zombies can get boring,
uh-huh.
particularly after, say, fifth level, because they're slow. I mean,
right.
in that style of zombie campaign, if you have archers and if you're able to walk, you can pretty much outdistance anything that's coming at you from one direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of challenging to look at the zombies past, say, fifth level. So any low-level characters would have a little bit of trouble with them. And there are some mechanics
right.
in there that make, you know, a massive amount of zombies, that's going to spell trouble for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the zombies themselves, like, what we kind of found with this set, and what I've also found with a lot of the movies, is they're kind of a backdrop. They set the tone of the whole world,
right.
and what is really interesting, get beyond that whole zombie thing, is that society has collapsed and you have mm-hmm. empires that are warring and different races that are rising or falling, and the challenges for, I think, any party above and beyond just plain old, you know, fight this monster, fight that monster is going to be, how do they survive with the tasks that they're given when they have to maneuver through all these different political entities.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the integration on the setting there. How did you, what were the aspects of the sort of Romero-style zombies, zombie genre that you wanted to really showcase in Arrhenius?
I really wanted to showcase the slow zombies that are sort of inexorable. You see them coming towards you, and you can run as far and fast as you can, but no matter where you run, you're just going to run into more zombies.
Right.
It's that kind of a world, you know. I really wanted to emphasize small communities. It's really hard to do things like farms. How do you defend a field when a horde of 100 zombies comes wandering through?
Right.
And I really liked that, especially with the early Romero films. It's a reflection on society, you know. I mean, if you look at Dawn of the Dead, I mean, they're in a shopping mall, and where do all these undead people go? They go to a shopping mall.
Right.
So we try and look at that from a medieval aspect and from a role-playing aspect, and how can we reflect sort of that medieval style role play in a zombie apocalypse world? What would it look like? You know, where would these things be going? Who would survive? And as it turned out, it unplanned by us, but just as we sort of built this world, it's the clerics that come out on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What challenges did you find when you were? What challenges did you find when you were basically building Arrhenius?
The first challenge is it's somewhat of a one-man show. It's me and it's Scott when I can get him, and then a few editors from the site as well. So it's a pretty big task. And I did a lot of number crunching. I did a lot of, you know, what would happen to this population, what would happen to that population. And I wanted to do something just a little bit different than your standard average high fantasy world. So we integrated a new version of an orc, our own orcs, which are based more so on Mongol tribes,
right?
From the Asian but it's a challenge when no matter where your characters turn, I mean, say they're traveling someplace on horseback. You know, what happens if you run into a bunch of zombies? You get off the horse, you hoist the horse up in a tree. You know, you can't. I mean, these things will eat anything that's living in one place.
Right.
So it's a challenge to make it playable as well. You don't want to bog the players down in so much zombie stuff that they can barely move and they're waiting for hordes of zombies that they're going through, which is why we opted to set it 100 years after the initial apocalypse, so that there's been somewhat of a die-off. Well, I don't know if die-off is the right word, but the undead population is beginning to thin, which makes movement a little bit easier. And we're also going to introduce some new magical technologies like lighter-than-air craft, which is just starting to reintroduce trade and news traveling faster than you know, the speed of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's challenging, and it is challenging trying to keep the players engaged for 20 levels in a world full of zombies.
Right. Do you talk much about basically what caused the apocalypse or the sort of the inception of it at all?
Yeah, I haven't talked too much about that yet. I know what has caused it, but I don't want to give anything away.
Sure.
Because I'm also planning on a companion campaign to go along with this, and all of that stuff will sort of be covered there.
Okay, cool.
So I've mentioned a few things.
Excellent. And currently it's, you're putting this out under the Pathfinder system, which is, of course, modified OGL. Now, to clarify for our listeners a little bit, the zombies that are showing up in Arrhenius, is it like the necromancer type of zombie where you're raising the dead, or is it like the virus type of thing from the Romero films?
It's more like the Romero virus transmission type of thing. Until the very start of the actual Arrhenius campaign, if you're a human and you're bitten by a zombie, it's 100% fatal. You will turn into an undead in something like 2-4 hours.
Right.
The campaign kicks off with a cure actually being developed.
Right.
So that falls into the party's hands. So yeah, that's another threat. I mean, if you're an orc or an elf or some other race and a zombie bites you, sure, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be a pleasant experience, but it doesn't sentence you to death. But playing a human in this campaign carries with it some risk.
Right. So you're saying basically this virus only affects humans in the game?
Yeah. Yeah, the zombies will go after and attempt to eat anything warm-blooded, anything alive, but it's only transmitted between human beings.
Okay.
So elves, dwarves, whatnot, they're all excluded from the actual transmission of the disease. They won't become this particular type of undead, but it still affected their societies greatly.
Cool. Well, what can you tell us about the setting itself? What can people expect in the now forthcoming the forthcoming book that you're going to be putting out, because you had it funding through Kickstarter and it has funded 101% as of today?
Yep, 101%. Very happy. The book is going to include the contagion, the human contagion infected zombies that we've already developed, and the orcs. There's also going to be a listing of the gods of Arrhenius and as well as two additional classes that we're developing for the Arrhenius and the Pathfinder world. There's going to be an herbology as well, which is going to cover magical and medicinal plants that can be used throughout the campaign. Plus all of the background, a large number of NPCs, and at least at this point, at least two adventures for first-level characters to sort of kick off the whole Arrhenius campaign. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to come in right around 100 pages.
Very nice, very nice. Now, the this, of course, is going to be a self-published venture as well. If people are going to be looking for this, is it going to be on Troll in the Corner website, or are you going to have an Arrhenius.com, or where should people be hunting around for this?
At the moment, everything's done through Troll in the Corner. Mm-hmm. You can also find all of this stuff on DriveThruRPG or RPG
right.
Now. And when the final PDF and print-on-demand book is going to become available, it'll be available through DriveThruRPG and RPG Now as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very nice. When you were developing Arrhenius, when you're developing the setting and sort of integrating this whole zombie apocalypse, how did you approach the magic of the setting? So I mean, it's a high fantasy setting, so obviously you got wizards and clerics and all that stuff. How did you approach that?
Well, it became interesting when we sort of broke this world, because we found that the clerics were coming into power. They were replacing the nobility, basically, as the new high nobility. They were the ones who had the ability to take away protection from villages and whatnot.
Right.
And in our history of Arrhenius, the folks who opposed them the most were a combination of the noble families and also the wizards and sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened over the past 100 years is that magic has become something that people only practice under the license of the church that they have set up,
right,
called the Order of the White Claw.
Oh, okay.
And not being a licensed practitioner puts your entire village or city or town at risk,
sure,
for withdrawal from protection from the Order of the White Claw. Being a licensed magician means you do what they say when they say it. And there are, of course, rogues, and it doesn't affect everybody because,
sure,
the Order is pretty much confined to the human empire.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have elves and dwarfs and orcs who are able to practice freely in any other races.
Right.
But what that does for the humans is it makes it a sort of a high magic setting with low magic availability.
Mm-hmm. But this, it's key to remember, is this this zombie apocalypse, is it localized to one area, or is it literally the entire world?
It's the entire known world.
The entire known world, right.
The global population, we started off with about 11 million sentient beings, and we ended up with just over a billion after about 100.
Excellent. Now, basically, with the magic going on, with the clerics taking power, it sounds like you are trying to go a bit for that. I mean, I know the thing I like most about zombie movies, good zombie movies, is it's not really about the zombies; it's about what people do to the
exactly.
people do to each other. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
And it sounds like that. So that's obviously something you had in mind when you were developing the setting, and
yeah. Yeah, it's a big study, and I mean, it happened to be zombies because I enjoyed them. It could have been a plague of locusts. It could have been anything, really, to kick this thing off. The zombies just happened to be what I enjoy most. But really, it's a look at the society, what would happen to this place after 100 years, and what would motivate people, and what would cause the party to have to be motivated to go out and do something to help
sure.
fix this. what side are they going to be on, basically.
Sure.
And it's fairly open-ended for the party, too, which makes it fun, I think, for the players and the GM.
Sure. So it sounds like you have a lot of different kind of antagonists that you can use in the game system, in the game setting.
Absolutely.
Other than just hordes of zombies, it's also, you could use the clerics or any type of thing like that. So.
Right. Well, the first module, The Haunted Mines, which actually premiered at CanCon, sort of kicks off with the players ending up on the wrong side of the sword of the whole Order of the White Claw, the clerics, and then that puts them on the run, and then they have to decide what they're going to do from there. And I think for the first few levels, it'll pretty much be, again, like a zombie movie, it's survival. The first 30 minutes, how do you survive when this whole thing is happening?
Right.
And then as you build up character levels, it again turns more into, well, how do you survive in this society?
Mm-hmm.
The zombies become a little bit more tolerable.
How do you address the whole issue of zombies not really being a huge threat after fifth level? I'm assuming you have new types of zombies, obviously, in the game.
Yeah, there are a few types of zombies that haven't been revealed yet, which will be more of a threat. There's going to be a lot of information about the sort of geopolitical state of the world and what will be a threat to the characters later on. That includes, a necromancer figure and the whole Order of the White Claw fighting the wizards and whatnot.
Right.
So there are also mechanics that I'm putting into place for groups of zombies, too, which gives them advantages in combat the more that are piling on to an individual. So you don't want to be caught in a horde, essentially.
Doesn't sound like always.
And then you have the standard risks that are available to any high fantasy world. You pick up the Pathfinder Bestiary or the second one that's coming out, and you're going to have a whole host of things you can throw at your party in addition to everything else that this world has to offer.
Now, am I going too far to say that you're planning on putting this out for other systems as well, or just currently Pathfinder and then eyeing other things as well?
We're giving some serious thought to Savage Worlds. Mm-hmm. One of my editors, Nick, is a huge Savage Worlds fan, and I've recently picked up the rules and started fooling around with it. And I enjoy it as well, and I think it might lend a lot to a good old-fashioned zombie apocalypse style game, but we're committed to finishing the Pathfinder bit first, and then we'll see where it takes us after that. I think Savage Worlds is a definite possibility.
Excellent. Well, if there's something that... if basically there was one thing or even a series of things that you wanted to tell people about Arrhenius, what would it be?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. It's going to be, if you're a fan of the zombies or if you're just a fan of sort of a post-apocalyptic kind of world and you wanted to really integrate that high fantasy world in there as well, it's going to be a really fun, really interesting setting that offers a lot of different challenges from your standard sort of vanilla high fantasy world. There's going to be a lot of political stuff going on, which is going to involve the characters who play both the and all the NPCs. So I'm just having a heck of a time running it myself. I really enjoy it. All my players seem to like it as well. So that's what I'm aiming for, is a really fun setting. I think other people will enjoy it as well.
Sure. And how long have you been developing it?
We started with some notes last Christmas. The first free PDF came out in beginning of June, so not too terribly long. And we plan. My goal is to have the entire book finished by the end of next June. I want to have it finished before all the major cons.
Sure. Excellent. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Certainly a lot of fun to do. A lot more fun than I expected.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you guys have been very, very busy with it. You just sent me some artwork. I don't know if you want, we can toss that out when we put this out on the feed. We did mention Kickstarter there a little bit, and I wanted to really sort of quickly talk a little bit about that. How did you learn about Kickstarter, and what made you decide to use that for to basically try to fund the hard copy book of this?
Sure. I heard about Kickstarter, I believe, from somebody mentioning it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
several months ago, and I actually initially tried a Erroneous Kickstarter program before the one that that I kicked off now, which failed miserably.
Right.
Didn't do well at all. But that was before I really had any product to show anybody as well. The idea behind Kickstarter, which is the whole you come and you back this project at a certain level, be it $10 or $500, and
right.
depending on which level you back it at, you get a certain reward. It's very similar to the Patriot model that a lot of other folks are starting to adopt mm-hmm. as well. Crowdfunding has always fascinated me. It's always been interesting that somebody would take such an interest in a product that they will back the product monetarily in exchange for getting something extra and mm-hmm. above and beyond what everybody else can get for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always liked that idea, and Kickstarter just seemed like a really good fit.
Mm-hmm.
So the second Kickstarter project, the one that just got funded, was we toned down our goals quite a bit. We made it a lot more manageable, and we had several products already in the PDF market that we could point to and say, look, we did it, which I think helped quite a lot. So it helped sort of focus on what needs to be done to get this put into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now funded, which is very good.
Now, this Kickstarter is actually kind of fascinating to me. I'm eyeing it for a possibility of funding a little bit of the CantCon stuff next year. It might be
yep.
an interesting way to try it.
Absolutely.
So you've had a good experience with it?
I've had a very good experience with it, yes. But I haven't really dealt with the folks at Kickstarter all that much, but every time I have dealt with them, they've been very nice and very responsive. But it's really a lot of fun to watch, particularly, if something does get funded,
sure.
To watch the numbers sort of go up and to watch excitement climb and to continue to push updates. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to sort of get the message out as well. So, yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. And were there any challenges, because it sounds like you really haven't done a lot of publishing before, so were there any challenges that you found when you basically jumped into the publishing arena? I mean, anything that surprised you?
Oh, absolutely. I had to start from scratch with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been writing role-playing game scenarios for years and years, but
sure.
putting that into a format that somebody else could actually read and understand was very interesting, and making sure that the mechanics were as well-defined and as fitting with the Pathfinder world as they could possibly be. All the challenges everywhere from I can't draw to save my life, so I need somebody to do the art and finding art, which actually there's an incredibly responsive community of artists who I found actually through the Reddit website, through
mm-hmm.
the RPG subreddit. Even the layout, I've written Word documents before, I've created PDFs, but never anything that needs to look really as good.
Right.
That's another challenge, is finding a layout artist, somebody who could tackle this and make it look like a real RPG product, which thankfully I did. A gentleman by the name of Eric Vernon just stepped up, and
mm-hmm.
We actually re-released the Contagion Zombie PDF this morning.
Yes.
With a brand new layout. It's sort of reading 2.0. It's got the corrected zombies and a bunch of errata put in there and some new beats, and it just looks really sticky. So yes, that was lining all that stuff up, doing all the organization, getting people over to the house to write, talking to people on the phone about ideas, and emailing back and forth. It's a lot more organization than just setting up a game night.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, looking at starting to wrap this up a little bit, some questions I always ask people. What is it, first of all, what is it about this hobby, about gaming, that keeps bringing you back? It's one thing we're all about, spreading the love of the tabletop hobby and sort of raising the
Absolutely.
Awareness of it. What is it that makes it special for you?
For me, it's the excitement of running or playing in one of these games. It's the morning of game day. I'm just pumped. I don't need any coffee. I'm ready to go. Happy to have people over. It's great to get face-to-face time with the friends that I'm gaming with. And I just love the whole detail of the worlds that you can create. You can really take a product that somebody else has put out there and sort of make it your own and go nuts with it. And as creative as you are, that's the only thing holding you back is how much time and energy you're willing to put into it.
Right.
And I love that about the hobby. So, you can pretty much do just about anything with the systems that are out there right now, which just makes it incredible fun.
Is there anything on the horizon for Troll in the Corner or for Arrhenius that we should be getting excited about right now?
I just got a whole new package of artwork for Arrhenius that I'm really excited about. We found a great artist by the name of Seth Hump, who's just done amazing work. Mm-hmm. So I have a whole bunch of new art to show off soon, and really I'm just sort of digging my heels in with Arrhenius and starting to write.
Sure.
Now that we've become funded, I've sort of completed all the outlines for everything and got the skeleton up, and now I need to put in all the mechanics and do all the actual writing and working on that stuff. So the finished product is what I'm really looking forward to there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Troll in the Corner is concerned, we have a ton of new reviews coming up. We're looking to bring on a fourth editor in the near future and expand our coverage. We'll have some more reviews of science fiction and fantasy gaming coming up, and hopefully working with you guys to do some good stuff too in the future.
Definitely. We are very much interested in doing so. You guys got a good thing going on over there at Troll in the Corner, and we want to ride those coattails as much as possible.
Well, we'll do the same for you.
Hey, that's going to get kind of awkward, isn't it? Well, I wanted to thank you for taking the time. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us over here. This, of course, goes out. We did mention the Kickstarter thing. They've got through, when is it, the 28th?
Yes, there are 6 more days left. If anybody would like to pop on over and become a backer, and you can get all kinds of neat extra stuff, mm-hmm. anywhere from pre-ordering a hard copy of the book for yourself all the way to getting yourself included right in the game with a
sure.
portrait and stat block and being an NPC who has a pretty important position.
Yes, I believe I took one of those larger options just because I thought
I believe you did.
So. You guys supported CantCon, and I was like, why not? Throw some love
Excellent.
That way.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
We're hoping we can hopefully get. I know Tracy is planning on Tracy, of course, Rolling 20s on the forums, and Tracy Barnett writes for your website. He came out to CantCon. Hopefully, he'll be coming back next year, and we're hoping to get some Arrhenius to basically it show up at CantCon next year. So, definitely
guaranteed, absolutely.
Definitely want to.
Yeah,
have
I know
that.
Tracy had a great time over at CantCon, and I'd love to stop by myself as well. It's just a matter of getting myself up to Kansas to do it.
Yep. Well, I know Tracy would probably detour and pick you up. He was offering pretty much everybody
Absolutely.
At Gen Con to do that. So
it's just a couple thousand miles each way.
Oh, it's only a 3-day drive. It's fine. but thank you very much for talking to us over here at Gamers Haven. We are very much looking forward to Arrhenius and in all of its future in its incarnation now and its future incarnations later. So thank you very much.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.